welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Joining me, as always, are our co-host, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Managing Editor, Matt Assad. So today's show will focus on the controversial issue of data centers. Why are so many proposed for the Lehigh Valley? And what impacts do they have in the community? And do we really need them? We're going to separate the fact from the fiction with guest Jill Seitz, Chief Community and Regional Planner at the Commission, and Susan Myrov, LVPC's Director of Environmental Planning. They literally co-wrote the book on how communities should prepare for Lehigh Valley industrial land uses, including data centers. Jill joined the LVPC in 2017, where she leads initiatives that shape and manage the region's growth, sustainability, and quality of life. She is an expert on Pennsylvania planning, zoning, and land use, and has played a key role in projects that include developing Future LV, the regional plan, and the Lehigh Valley Housing Supply and Attainability Strategy, bringing together hundreds of stakeholders across industries and sectors to create a business plan for increasing housing production and addressing the region's housing shortage. Susan arrived at the Planning Commission in 2023 with more than 30 years of dedication to protecting our environment. She's one of the state's leading experts in watershed planning and protection. She spent 10 years as Watersheds Program Director for the Pennsylvania Environmental Council, and before that was a senior planner for the Heritage Conservancy. At the Planning Commission, she directed the pathway to a resilient Greater Lehigh Valley and is directing the regional update to all 15 watershed stormwater management plans, along with a list of other duties aimed at protecting our environment. So let's get into this. Data centers, I know the conversation has dated back to, in this region, around 9/11, I believe. Correct, Becky? When you and I were in different roles, but I was at LVDC, and there was an initiative, Wall Street West. This is when I first remember this discussion coming up. But obviously, we're in a different environment. AI is here, it's here to stay, and it requires data.
Well, you're exactly right. Anyone who's been paying attention to local or national news probably thinks data centers are the new bogeyman. You know, communities are afraid, and there's some of them are banding together, and they're trying to figure out whether we can stop them. But in many cases, they're making a lot of assumptions, and before they really have the information to make the really important decisions they need to make. Like any development, there are right places for data centers and there are wrong places. Like any development, there are right ways to build data centers and there are wrong ways to build them. So they're not inherently good. They're not inherently evil. So we're here to maybe give people what they need to make an informed decision, maybe separate the facts from myths. You know, the big problem is the landscape is shifting so fast. Information is shifting so fast. So even when you think you know everything about them, like stuff changed already. So hopefully, I think what we have here today, we're kind of lucky to have like the perfect experts for this, because there are very few people anywhere in the state or nation, actually, who know more about these than Jill, Susan, and Becky.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, Becky, what is a data center? Tell us to a sixth grader, and do we really need them?
Sure. So data centers are secure facilities that house physical hardware that store and process digital information. So a good example of that is if you sync your laptop to the cloud, files to the cloud, if you sync your Apple device or any other Android device to some sort of cloud. Well, what is that cloud? Well, it's actually in the physical manifestation of that is a data center. When you ask Siri for information, or you use some other AI tool in your, you know, your Google searches, or, you know, even in other common platforms, like when you go online to request a refund for something that you bought, or need help through a hospital website. All of that help and all of that information is stored in a data center facility. So it could be everything from more fun things like streaming video and online gaming to online banking, telehealth, virtual school platforms, which is so important during the pandemic, and so on and so forth. So those data centers are the physical space behind making those things happen for us, but they're not all created equal. And that's really where Matt was alluding to the fact that, some of them can be okay in the right locations, in the right places, and then other ones may not be.
So, Becky, what makes this region so attractive to data center developers? Dare I say location, location, location?
That's part of it. And I'll get into the location, location, location part. But I do want to let you know that it's a nationwide issue. There are data centers being proposed all over the United States of America right now, and actually all over the world. So it isn't just limited to us. I had the opportunity to meet with regions from across the country just a couple of weeks ago through the National Association of Regional Councils. And it was one of the primary topics that local governments, counties and regions, states, and obviously the federal government are dealing with all across the country. So in terms of what does that mean to the Lehigh Valley? Well, remember you mentioned at the outset Wall Street West. Well, actually we do serve as a backup location for an incredible amount of information and data from the adjoining major metropolitan areas of the New York, New Jersey metro, and then the Philadelphia metropolitan statistical area as well. For example, in the Lehigh Valley today, the Children's Hospital of the University of Pennsylvania's cloud storage is stored here. Basically, the entire Northeast United States cloud service for Microsoft is stored here as well. And there's reasons for that. And that's where the location comes into play. We are not in a coastal zone. So we have different risk profiles in terms of natural disasters, where obviously can be affected by the aftermath of major storms like Hurricane Sandy, but we're not necessarily in the direct line. Those types of events. We also don't have the density that some of those adjacent major metros have, which creates a whole other level of security and vulnerability. So the Lehigh Valley, though, is adjacent to those areas. In addition, where is the telephone system for St. Luke's Hospital, right? Well, that's a cloud service, and that's actually stored here right in the Lehigh Valley. So there are a whole host of reasons why we need data centers and how they serve a legitimate benefit. And then we haven't yet had a chance to talk about some of the reasons why they might be good in certain locations. But I know Jill and Susan are going to tell you a little bit about that here in a minute.
Okay, so then going to Jill, it seems like data centers have arrived in the last few years. Are these new to the Lehigh Valley?
The use itself is really not new at all. And really, the need for data centers has expanded right alongside the expansion of the internet, several decades ago. They come in all different forms. A lot of businesses have their own localized data centers, which could just be like a small data room, a telecommunications facility to help support business needs, especially larger enterprises. But the Lehigh Valley in particular also has multiple standalone data centers that have been around for a long time as well. Both Lehigh and Northampton County have different sized facilities that host multiple business needs. As Becky mentioned, they're supporting business operations like cloud storage, transmitting data and information. And so they really have been here for a long time. And people have never really realized because it's like background infrastructure that kind of people don't really think about when they send a text message or interact with their devices that these facilities are making that happen in the background.
They're basically server farms, right? Like that's what we used to call them,
Sure.
back in the day.
Yep.
And the different sizes is important. We have multiple hyperscale data centers in the Lehigh Valley now, and they've been there for a long time. One is in what used to be an office building, and another is in a mixed-use office industrial area. You could actually, and you probably have, driven by one or both of those and not even known that they were there.
Right. And a gear, the former gear, the big green building on Route 22, that I know that had a data center. I was in that data center when I worked in construction. You wouldn't necessarily know it was in that building. But Jill, can you talk about the various sizes of data centers and what's different about this new generation of data centers?
Sure, and data centers do come in a wide range of sizes, but we know that that actually has a lot less to do with the actual impact that a project could have compared to other industrial land uses we know, like warehouses and manufacturing, where the scale of a facility really has an impact on what the resulting impacts are. But with data centers, what really matters is the intensity and the type of computing that's happening inside the building. So, for example, artificial intelligence and other really high performance computing operations, which also typically require a denser or more full server rack, would require more power compared to something that an operation that wouldn't require very much computing power, like if you were simply storing data and information and maybe just accessing data once in a while, that would have a much lower impact. And so, data centers can come in all different sizes based on what the business needs are. There are co-location data centers that can range from 10 to 20,000 square feet, all the way up to 100 to 500,000 square feet, where you may have multiple quote unquote tenants using the servers inside that facility, but it's all housed under one roof. Whereas mega technology companies that we interact with every day, Microsoft or an Amazon, may have their own very large scale, multi-million square foot facilities just because the nature of those technology businesses require so many servers in order to run. And so the size of data centers really depends on need. We also are expecting to see more and more smaller scale data centers because there's a benefit of proximity with certain technology applications like autonomous vehicles that need to communicate quickly with a small data center facility located nearby. And so we're expecting to see even smaller scale, just 1,000 square feet or a few thousand square feet facility located throughout communities to help support those daily needs.
By the way, school districts have facilities that are that big now just to serve the school operations.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Susan, where have these been proposed so far in the Lehigh Valley?
So right now we have about four that have been, well, three proposed and one has been announced. These are located in Pamunkeyjay Township, Allen Township, South Whitehall, and Lower Mount Bethel. And many of our communities have also been thinking about this and have asked us to look at helping them craft ordinances to help them have regulations in place just in case these are proposed in their community. So that's something that we have been working very hard here to do to help our communities prepare. We've done several training sessions on our industrial land use guide. We right now have, we believe there's 22 municipalities that have either adopted ordinances related to data centers or are seeking to do that in the valley. So yeah, there's a lot of activity going on right now.
And we do again have existing ones in other places other than the new ones that were announced and may or may not move forward in their development in Hanover Township, Northampton County, in Upper Meckungee Township, in Palmer Township, in Forks Township, and Lower Meckungee Townships. And there's likely others as well.
Right. Okay. So, Jill, why do you think so many people oppose these?
Well, I think, and we see this frequently with different emerging land uses, I think it's really difficult for people to become accustomed to something that they perceive as new. And so, even though we talked about data centers having been around for a long time because people weren't really aware of them, I think that people really react to the scale of some of the facilities that we're seeing more locally. Because a lot of those new facilities we're seeing have been proposed to be very large. And then the infrastructure around them that's needed, whether it's substations or generators, that can make them feel very different from land uses that they're used to seeing. But I think a lot of that just comes from an educational disconnect of not knowing so much about these facilities because they have operated in the background for a long time. Understandably, people worry about resources, which has already been a question that planners have been looking at for a long time, even before data centers have emerged, is making sure that we do have enough electricity and water and infrastructure to support the land uses and community in their growth patterns. But residents want to know whether a large user like a data center could affect their utility costs, reliability of the grid, and their water supply. Understandably so.
I think too, there's an emotional side of this too, beyond some of the land use components that Jill went through. A lot of people see data centers, and they've been very open about it, representative of income inequality and disconnect. And let me explain that. That there's these, tech billionaires with all this money, yet costs of everyday needs, gas, groceries, other things have increased. So people are feeling like their access to a solid and stable future, remaining in the middle class, being able to get into the middle class is threatened, and that can be projected onto the technology sector. In addition, have the fear of AI coming for people's jobs. And these facilities are seen as a physical representation of that. And so, there's this component of it that is far greater than we, an emotional component of this subject that's far greater than we saw even with the initial warehouse boom that, we're kind of on the down slope of. That's an important factor to this conversation. And I'll throw this one out there too, because I know we've noticed it. Social media is rife with misinformation, is rife with videos and commentary, and even AI generated things that have come out of, the storage for those is actually in a data center against data centers with tons of misinformation. And once it people start clicking on that, it's a doom spiral of, really getting pumped into people's algorithms, whether it's true or not. And so the narrative itself is being shifted by AI, not for AI, which is very, very interesting and new sort of thing that we have to address when we're going into public meetings and working with local government officials, because people are coming rightfully upset because of all of these things, right? And we have to hear them and understand what that means and sort through that. And I think that's a new and different way. They don't teach you that one in planning school.
And I think related to that, there's this complexity behind data centers as a land use where the discussion and the narrative tends to be very definitive. Data centers will have this specific impact. Whereas the truth is, the impacts really depend on a case-by-case basis. And as Matt mentioned earlier, the industry is evolving rapidly now, and let alone over the past several decades when data centers were even, or back then, server farms, what they were referred to, were first being created. Technology has come a much farther way now compared to what they had been before. And so these people's understanding of what impacts behind a data center can really be are much more situational and contextual to a project than I think a lot of people realize.
Right. Okay. So, Susan, let's talk about the energy and water demands. These are the things people seem especially worried about.
I'll try to give you some examples. And you just heard that data centers vary in scale because it depends on the computational power that the building is supporting. So, for example, when you have something that's just for one business, you might just need a very small amount of energy use. And we've seen the larger scale, the hyperscale data centers, use as much as 150 megawatts, which is an enormous amount of power, but it's also very similar to that of heavy manufacturing, like the chemical, steel, or microchip industry. And again, not all those computational tasks we were just talking about, AI, cloud storage, require the same amount of energy or hardware. So storing and assessing data in the cloud is actually a lighter lift and requires the same amount of power that maybe an advanced manufacturing facility of the same size. But general cloud use tasks that we talk about every day, like streaming video and playing video games online, require substantially more computational power at a similar level to, again, heavy manufacturing. So the most demanding data center tasks do include artificial intelligence, cryptocurrency mining, and heavy computational use, and that's the ones that require the most power and the larger scale data centers. And that energy use, it has to be transmitted to these different centers and sites, and that's an issue and a concern. Are we using the energy that should be help powering our businesses and our homes, and is that driving costs up? So there's a lot of discussion about that right now and a lot of interest. Do we have the capacity? If we're putting all this energy to data centers, does that mean we're not going to have enough energy when there's a heat wave and we have to air condition our homes? So there's a lot of interest in that. And the other big concern is the water demands for these facilities. When you have lots of servers, and you might be able to just think about this when at home, when you're using your laptop, you know it gets hot when you're using it. Well, just imagine that multiplied by hundreds and hundreds of these. That heat that's generated needs to be cooled, and these centers, when they were first developed, needed to use lots of water to do that. So there was a big concern about the water demands just to keep all of the infrastructure cool. And that's been again a big concern, because you use the more water and you're making sure that you're cooling your servers, you have less energy demand. But on the other side of that, if you use less water, you have higher energy demand. So there's been a whole big issue about the efficiencies. And we are seeing literally every couple weeks, we're hearing of ways in which there's more innovation and reducing that water usage, having more efficient types of energy infrastructure. So there's just a lot of things going on right now, and we are trying to do our best to, again, advise our communities about these changes and try as much as we can to understand the right questions to ask so that the concerns that are being raised by the public are addressed to a good degree, and our elected officials understand how to react to those kinds of things.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Susan brought up a very, very, very important point. The energy management, water consumption, all of that is changing very, very rapidly. Lehigh University is actually doing research on this, and helping to develop systems that are more efficient, that don't use as much power. We know already in at least one of the hyperscale data centers that exist in the Lehigh Valley now, they're recycling the heat in using that to create other forms of energy. And so there's a lot of things that are just rapidly evolving very, very quickly. What you're seeing now being proposed is if it's a serious data center with a sophisticated data center manager, they're in business, right? And they're not going to have infinite resources to pay electric and water bills, nor do they want to have environmental impact that big, right? It's costly, it's irresponsible, it's just not good business. And we've heard them say this. And so they're obviously in the business to make money, but they're not going to do it at great cost that does not allow them to generate revenue. And so some of these original facilities, like the ones that they always show in Northern Virginia, are not like the ones that we're seeing proposed today in the Lehigh Valley, at least right now, right? They tend to be a little bit different if they are serious.
Two things. One, have you all heard of the data centers that are being powered by ocean water?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I saw that on CBS's Sunday Morning, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. I don't understand it at all, but that's pretty cool. So yeah, other environmentally friendly data centers are being developed. Jill, before we get into the major data centers, or I forget the term you used, Becky, but what are the noise impacts, Jill? And what about community character, since these can be extremely large buildings?
Well, sure. And noise in particular is one of the more common concerns that we hear about from communities. And I think it's important to understand what about a data center could even possibly generate a noise impact in a community. So in particular, data centers may have these cooling systems, which involve fans or chillers or air handling equipment. And related to their energy needs, they may also have transformers and, of course, backup generators. These are typically the mechanical equipment that would be noise generating and may not be applicable to every project, depending on what cooling system is used. And we're hearing more about immersion cooling technologies where computers are literally immersed in liquid to be the most efficient in handling. Their cooling needs are much less likely to have a noise impact because they don't have all that mechanical equipment to generate noise, which also just so happens to be on the outside of a building, which is why they're the most perceptible. Similarly, with backup generators, of course, a diesel generator that needs to be tested at some regular interval will have a noise impact. But facilities are moving now more to battery storage systems and battery usage in general, which would not have the same level of noise impacts. And there's a lot that communities can do in their ordinances to mitigate what any potential noise impacts of data centers could be, starting with noise studies related to a specific development, really assessing what the impacts could be, requiring noise mitigation techniques, whether it's a sound barrier or certain grading or buffering distances between that equipment and external properties. So those are just some of the ways that communities we know are looking at that. And then as far as community character, not dissimilar to other industrial uses we've seen, warehousing or manufacturing, having those design standards in local ordinances that specify what a building should look like, what scale it can be at, what landscaping is required, if there's any screening around equipment, just to help those buildings fit into the character of the community, that's really important.
The key, I think, when a data center is proposed is to know whether it's just a property owner trying to increase the value of the building to recruit a data center tenant because they don't have another tenant or they can get more per square foot, and trying to get pre-approval for that prior to having a tenant lined up, or if there is an actual data center tenant who is interested in that building or that site. Because if there is an identified tenant, then asking these really key questions will be easy for them to answer. And unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, you don't have to have an end user for a property lined up before you get approvals to do things. And local governments are forced to make decisions within just a couple of months. In some cases, on zoning, it's within 30 days. In the case of land development, you got a few months, and that's it. And so there's a lot of uncertainty in some of the approval processes just because the way the state law is written. And quite frankly, some of the more savvy property owners and developers are, utilizing that to get approvals on projects that aren't even really projects yet.
I mean, before people are
Go for
afraid of everything they just heard,
it.
their communities are really, they've really been moving quickly. I mean, more quickly than anybody did with the warehouse boom. They have raced to get regulations in place, and already 46 out of our 62 either have regulations or are about to have them in the next month or so. So they have moved quickly and they have moved proactively.
And we're
Okay.
always available to help local governments with those. And we've met with all of them. Jill and Susan have been on the road doing road shows and trainings and convenings with folks. And so people can look at our website, lvpc.org, and look at the new industrial land use guide, which is a partner guide to one we did on the warehouse boom a few years ago, for more information.
All right. Well, clearly this is a topic that there is a lot more to dig into, but for now, this is the end of our program today. You can always listen to it again at wdiy.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. You've been listening to Plan Lehigh Valley with our hosts from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Thank you.